Hi, I'm Lachlan Smith from the Australian Drug Foundation. We're working together to prevent alcohol and other drug problems in our communities. This podcast is the first of two podcasts on the facts on cannabis for any adult looking to support young people. This first podcast features Dr. Michael Cargreg talking about how to communicate effectively with young people about cannabis. Michael works in private practice as a nationally registered child and adolescent psychologist, specialising in the area of parenting, adolescents and adolescent mental health. He's a founding member of the National Centre Against Bullying, a director of the Cooperative Research Centre for Young People, Technology and Wellbeing, columnist for a number of publications, and a published author, amongst many other things.
Hi, I'm Michael Cargreg, and I'm going to be giving some general parenting information and advice in respect to the Australian Drug Foundation cannabis campaign. One of the questions that I get asked often is, what can we do to increase protective factors in the lives of our young people? And I've got some specific ideas that I'd like to share. One of the most important things we have to do is be the world expert on our son or daughter. And what that means is really knowing their personality and temperament. Young people are 23 chromosomes from you, 23 slightly imperfect chromosomes from the person that you procreated with. Roll out the genetic roll of the dice and the environmental influences, and not every child is the same. So you've got to make sure that you understand whether or not you've got a young person who's a bit of a sensation seeker or a young person who's a bit less inclined to do that, more risk averse. So one size of parenting doesn't fit all. So if you have a kid who is a little bit of a sensation seeker, then probably they require a bit more monitoring, a bit more supervision, and you need to structure their lives a bit more. The second thing is to keep an eye on your son or daughter, particularly if they are sensation seekers. Right from the start, knowing who they're with and where they are can actually help you prevent some of their risk-taking behaviour, because it sends a very clear message that they are actually being watched, which also has the benefit of them recognising that they're actually cared for as well. One of the really interesting pieces of research that pertains to this is that what we found is that the stronger the connection that exists between the young person and their parents, the greater the likelihood that you reduce the chance of risky teenage behaviour. So keeping the lines of communication open, staying connected with your son and daughter is very, very important. Make sure that when you're communicating with them that you only fight over things that matter. No one's ever died of an untidy room, so you need to make sure that your whole relationship with them, particularly around adolescence, is one of openness and great connectedness. We also know that in middle adolescence, young people are very, very influenced by their peers, and therefore it's incredibly important in terms of increasing the protective factors in their lives for you to know who they're hanging out with, know their peers, and encourage what we call a pro-social network of friends. These are young people who have good values, good attitudes, good beliefs, who seem connected to their parents, who have a structure to their lives, who enjoy art, music, dance, drama, sport, that they basically aren't disaffected and disaffiliated. Having an appropriate social network of friends is a major protective factor in the lives of young people. We also need for your children to be very, very clear on what your values and attitudes are about sex, drugs, internet, curfew, etc., but particularly around cannabis, the most commonly used illicit drug in Australia. So make sure you talk with them about what you believe about cannabis, what you think is wrong and right, and explain why. And of course, there's some fantastic information, up-to-date, reliable information on the Australian Drug Foundation website. The other really useful thing to do is to use teachable moments from the media. By that I mean every time a story appears on television, on the radio, or in newspapers that relate, for example, to cannabis, and it might be just the National Household Survey results, use that as an opportunity to open a conversation about cannabis. Ask them questions. What do they know? What do they think? How do they feel about this? And then make sure that you make clear what your views are. We also need to model responsible behaviours that you expect from them. And that means that you can't be saying one thing and then doing another. So you have to make sure that your behaviour as a parent is consistent with the advice that you give. Young people have an inbuilt bull dust detector. They can tell when they're being snowed and they can spot hypocrisy a mile off. The other really important component in reducing risk factors and increasing protective factors is to talk to them about how to assess risk. And you can do this by talking about your own experiences when you were growing up. And I think the more often you do this, just generally, the more you give them the skills and the knowledge and the strategies to make their own risk assessments. And of course, as they get older, they'll get better at doing it. The other thing is, I think we need to have very clear ground rules around risk-taking behaviours. Young people have 100 billion brain cells and a trillion connections, but they're not all wired up yet. A unique characteristic of teenagers is an inability to predict the consequences of their actions. So you do need to make it very clear, particularly on issues to do with their well-being, what the rules are. You can explain why they're there, but you also have to talk about the consequences. It's also very important to establish a bailout system. There are times when young people get themselves into situations and they think, oh, how am I going to get out of this? But one of the things that you can do is give them a kind of technique. It might be that they just text you a particular code word at any time, which means to come and get them. So that will avoid peer embarrassment, and it will be a really good thing for them to have in their sort of phone just in case they get themselves into that difficult situation. So you're acknowledging that it could happen and you're giving them an out. That's just great parenting. The other issue is to teach them refusal skills. And you might like to practice this beforehand so that you give them the ability to talk themselves out of risky situations that they don't want to engage in. One of the techniques that I used with my son was that I knew there were some kids in his school who were using marijuana, and I said, look, if you ever offered a joint, one of the things that I did when I was your age was I just pulled down my lower lip and I explained to the person offering me the joint that I had these weeping infected boils and that I wouldn't want to share them. And that was just fantastic. And I do believe my kids use that technique. So refusal skills are important. If you do have a sensation-seeking son or daughter, one of the things that you can do is make a pledge that you're going to channel their risk-taking tendencies into safer and more constructive attitudes. And I'm talking about adrenaline-charged sports like rock climbing, martial arts, canoeing, or mountain biking. All of that provides plenty of thrills. And, of course, what we know is that these kids will love the rush of performing not only in front of you, but also achieving their goals. So that's the list. That's one of the most important conversations you'll ever have, I guess, to try and reduce the likelihood that your children, your teenagers, will come to harm. So good luck. The second part of this is to look at what would be the key pieces of information around young people and risk-taking. And I guess it's stressful for any parent, but the reality is that adolescence and risk-taking tend to go hand in hand. Teenagers, by their very nature, need to figure out the answer to the question, who am I? And that involves exploring their own limits and abilities, as well as the boundaries that parents do set. It's all part of their becoming independent, functioning young people. When young people are with friends, they are much more susceptible to the potential rewards of a risk than they are when they're alone. And that's why it's important to know their friends and to be aware of what they're like. And there's an important distinction between healthy risk-taking and unhealthy risk-taking. We know the part of the teenage brain responsible for impulse control doesn't fully mature until they're about 25 years of age. So that means that as adolescents, they're much more likely to make impulsive, emotional decisions without thinking through the consequences. So just remember, supervision is critical. What we know is that teenagers actually do need to take those risks to learn more about themselves and test out their abilities. It's about self-definition. That means that we don't want to wrap them in cotton wool or bubble wrap them. That's likely to backfire and also send them a message that the world is a much more dangerous place than it actually is. So risk-taking is a fairly normal part of growing up. Most teenagers, truth be known, will not take it to the extreme. If your son or daughter occasionally stays out past a curfew, you might not worry too much. But if they do that with dangerous consequences over and over again, a pattern of behaviour emerges which involves dangerous driving, using drugs, getting into fights, drinking or breaking the law, then you really do have to consider seeking help and support. That is not normal adolescence. I think you should also seek help if you're worried that your child's behaviour is self-destructive or might be a sign of a deeper psychological problem. I'll say that again. I also want you to seek help if you're worried that your child's behaviour is self-destructive or could be a sign of a deeper psychological problem. The best place to start is to just ask your family GP for a referral to a psychologist or a psychiatrist or other mental health professional. If you're having a hard time with your son or daughter or just talking to them at the moment, sometimes it's useful to get a third person, a third sort of trusted adult to talk about sensitive issues like sex and drugs with their mum and dad, but they find it a little bit easier to talk to someone else. You could also always ask your school counsellor for advice on this as well. So then how do you raise the subject of cannabis? Well, after 27 years in the business of child and adolescent psychology, I think parents are in the best position to talk with their kids about drugs. While schools and politicians, of course, have an important role to play, this is not something you can outsource to them. Parents have to basically take the lead. The choice about whether or not a young person is going to use or refuse a drug is heavily steeped in values. And these values are being absorbed by being around parents from the moment they can start thinking, these children start interacting with their parents. And that's why it's so important for parents from the earliest possibility to talk out loud about what their values are. In my view, the best thing parents can do is to try and delay a young person's initiation of substance use for as long as possible. Because what the research tells us is those who start younger are the ones that are most likely to have problems later in life. But as much as parents want to have the drug talk, it can be a very anxiety-provoking thing. And I'm going to give you some hints on doing it effectively, without getting the sort of ubiquitous eye roll or them just saying, I know all this, alienating them, or in fact giving them the green light. So I've got to congratulate the ADF for putting this podcast together and giving me the opportunity. So how do you talk to kids about cannabis? Well, the prevailing wisdom is to have the conversation early and often. What you don't want is to have this conversation after your child has already started using drugs. And that might be drinking or smoking marijuana. There are thousands of messages in your children's ears about drugs. You want to be there first, and you want to make sure that your message is the loudest. I believe you can lay the groundwork for really healthy communication with your kids by involving them in active in-family activities. daily meals together, holiday planning, all of this strengthens family bonds and sets the ground rules for respectful conversations and makes them want to listen to what you have to say. My view is that cannabis discussion itself should happen quite early in the child's adolescence, such as grade 5, before most of them have been exposed to any drug pressures. To increase motivation, my advice is that you could start this conversation after having done something really fun. So the kids are in a good mood, they're feeling quite positive. My advice is to start general, discussing, for example, people you know who have drinking or drug problems, and explain how that impacts on them. Explain to them how substance use got in the way of the wishes that they wanted and could potentially get in the way of the wishes you both want for your children. So what I want is for parents to make it crystal clear what they think about cannabis, how dangerous it is, and what the consequences could be of not abiding by the standards and the incentives that you're providing for them to stay away from cannabis. Incentives are crucial because you're asking your kid to give up something that many of their friends might be enjoying. And I think it's really important to confirm that everybody can live with rules. I think you need to repeat this conversation every year to make sure that everyone is still on board. Because as they get older, other topics might arise, such as how to decline a friend's offer of drugs or booze while still keeping that friend and having a good time. And that's why those refusal skills are so important. My personal belief is that I advise parents to declare drugs of any kind unacceptable. You simply never know what they're taking, what it's been mixed with, or how pure they actually are. And that usually works until kids reach about year 8. Because around about that time, their peers start to experiment, and it's no longer so clear that drugs are bad. I think parents should listen carefully to what their children are saying. The drug talk is 20% talking and 80% listening. I think you should hold a firm line, and even if you're told that everyone else is doing it, what you have to say is the family rule, this family rule, is no drugs, and that you would be sorely disappointed if that rule was broken. So what should you do if you suspect your teenager has a problem with cannabis? Well, the first thing is you have to get educated. Find out as much as you can about the drug. Log on to the Australian Drug Foundation Drug Info website for information and scientific evidence on drugs and alcohol use by teens, because the young person will tell you that it's harmless, it's green, it's natural, it's grown in the ground and should be a basic food group. But what you need to be doing is saying to these young people that you have the latest information. The first thing is to let them know you know. You need to sit down and talk with them and be sure to have the conversation when you're calm and you have plenty of time, you're not rushing off somewhere. This isn't an easy task because you might be feeling anger or guilt that you failed because your kid's using marijuana. But what you have to understand is that isn't true. By staying involved, by staying calm, you can help them stop using and make choices that will make a positive difference in their life. I need you to be specific about your concerns. Tell your kid what you see and how you feel about it. Be specific about the things you've observed that cause you concern. Make it clearly known if you find drugs or drug paraphernalia. Explain exactly how their behavior or appearance has changed, and that might be bloodshot eyes, different clothing, smelling differently, and why that worries you. Make sure you tell them that drug and alcohol use is dangerous, and it's your job as a parent to keep them safe and away from things that put them in danger. Above all, do not make excuses. It's very natural for all of us as parents to make excuses for our kids, but what you have to understand is you're not helping them. If you make excuses when they miss school or family functions, when you suspect something else is at play, you're letting them off. Take the next step. You need to talk to your child and get information. So once you've told them that you know and being specific about your concerns, it's important to remain calm and make a connection with them. Try and have this discussion without getting mad or accusing them of being stupid or bad or an embarrassment to the family. You need to be firm but loving with your tone. Don't get hooked into an argument. Try not to make the discussion an inquisition. Simply try to connect with your kid and find out why it is that they may be making bad choices. Find out if friends or others have offered them drugs at a party or a school. Did they try it out of curiosity, or did they use marijuana for some other reason? That alone will be a signal to your kid that you care and that you're going to be a parent exercising your rights. What I need you to know is, what are they using, how often, and most importantly, whether they've been using it in conjunction with anything else. You got to tell them you love them and that you're worried that they might be using these drugs in a way that is harmful to them. You need to say to them that you know that drugs may seem like the things to do, particularly in this day and age, but that you know doing drugs can have very serious consequences both in the short, medium and long term. I think you also need to say that it makes you feel worried and concerned about them when they do drugs. You're there to listen to them. You want them to be part of the solution, and you tell them what you will do to help them. Know that you might have to have this discussion many, many times. Talking to your kids about drugs is not a one-time event. I think you need to be also prepared for the fact that they're going to deny using drugs. Don't expect them to admit straight off that they have a problem. What you can expect is that they'll get angry and try to change the subject or storm out of the house. Maybe you'll be confronted with questions about what you did as a kid. And if you are asked, my advice is it's best to be honest if you can. I think what you need to do is not answer deceptively, because that'll get you to lose credibility, particularly if they find out later on that you've lied to them. On the other hand, if you don't feel comfortable answering the question, you can talk about some specific people you know that have had negative things happen to them as a result of drugs, particularly cannabis. However, if the time comes to talk about it, you can give short, honest answers like this. Well, when I was a kid, I did take drugs because some of my friends did, but I wanted to do that in order to fit in. If I'd known then about the consequences and how they'd affect my life, I never would have tried drugs. I'll do everything I can to help keep you away from them. The most important thing is to act now. You can become a real force for good in their lives by letting them know that you're going to more closely monitor their activities. You need to have the conversations about who, what, where, when, and reflect with your son or daughter on why they're using drugs and try to understand the reasons so that you can help solve the problem that underlies the drug use. When you get a better idea of the situation, then you can decide the next steps. This could include setting new rules and consequences that are reasonable and enforceable. Might be a new curfew, might be losing mobile phone privileges for a while or the computer, or less time hanging out with friends that you suspect are perhaps antisocial. You may want to get them involved in other activities that distract them, that will keep them busy and help them meet new people. Above all, remember, the backbone of child and adolescent mental health in Australia is your GP. So talk to your GP. Get advice from them on who in your local area has expertise in counselling. Above all, I wish you the best of luck.
For more information on cannabis, visit druginfo.adf.org.au/cannabis. This podcast was developed by the Australian Drug Foundation in partnership with the Victorian Department of Health. The content of this podcast is provided as general information only. It is not intended to be given as advice and should not be relied upon as such. If you're concerned about any issue raised by this podcast, then you should seek your own professional advice.